We rise. Grace and peace to you from God our Father, through our High Priest and Mediator, who brings us to God, even as God brings His Word to us. Amen. We hear our sermon text for today from Hebrews, the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 5. For every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. Because of this, he is required, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer sacrifices for sins. And no man takes this honor to himself, but he who is called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest. But it was he who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." As he says also in another place, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him, called by God as high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek. This word of God was spoken for you. In the name of Jesus, dear fellow redeemed, after years of debate over property rights, the company calls in a lawyer. After years of conflict with another country, the president sends a diplomat. After years of a strained marriage, the couple asks for a counselor. And after years of distant church relations, the congregation sends the elders to visit a member. Each of these situations finds the need for a mediator. Differing interests, conflicted diplomacy, strained marriage, distant church relations. A mediator's role is to stand between two parties and negotiate some kind of an agreement. It happens when a relationship is broken or conflicted. The two parties just can't seem to come to an agreement on their own, no matter how they try, and so a mediator is brought in. The high priest's job was to be a mediator. It was to mediate a relationship between God and his people. Differing interests, conflicted attitudes, strained relations. It's about a people who have grown distant from their God. The role of the high priest was to negotiate that relationship, to stand between God and his people. Today we'll look at three examples of how this has taken place. Firstly, when the high priest Aaron was standing between God and the children of Israel. Secondly, as the priest Melchizedek was standing between God and Abraham in Genesis 14. And finally, how both these examples are fulfilled in Jesus, who stands between God and all who submit to God through his name. Let us pray. O Holy Spirit, mediate our words and meditation today, that we would be blessed as your special people. Amen. The people of Israel needed a mediator for any number of reasons. If you look at the history of what the children of Israel went through in the Old Testament, you'll see the need for someone to come in and settle the disputes, the disagreements. They needed a mediator, and Aaron would be the first of the high priests to do this job. There were debates over rights. What belongs to God? What belongs to the people? There were conflicts with other countries. And so often Israel would think they could negotiate these differences on their own. A little compromise here and there. But the problem was the other countries they were negotiating with were opposed to God Most High, the Lord. The more and more Israel went after other gods, the more it became like a strained marriage. Two parties growing more and more distant from really knowing each other and trusting each other. So God instituted the priesthood. For every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he might offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. From among the weaknesses of God's people, God would choose a man. The first high priest was Aaron, a man surrounded by with weaknesses and sins, just like you and me. He was just one man from all the 12 tribes of Israel who would stand between God and the people to negotiate peace. Only one man would walk on that sacred ground, would handle that sacred blood, and would go behind that sacred veil to meet with God and settle all disputes. It was a ceremony marked by blood, the blood that was sprinkled before the altar and the sacrifice that was given. It was through these offerings, these gifts, the sacrifice for sin, that God forgave his people yet again, year after year, that he brought them peace. The role of the high priest was to mediate that relationship. But Aaron really wasn't the first. He wasn't the first priest in the Bible. In fact, if you turn back to Genesis, centuries earlier, there was another figure, someone who came out of the blue. No lineage, no tribe, no order. He was of his own type, a mysterious figure who comes on the scene for three verses in Genesis chapter 14 and then is gone. His name was Melchizedek, the priest of Salem. He came from a village, Salem, meaning peace. And it was Melchizedek who stood between Abraham and God to offer peace. He greets Abraham with bread and wine and a blessing. Abraham had just returned from a conflict. He had went out to rescue his nephew Lot, who was taken captive by four kings who had plundered the city of Sodom. Lot had wandered off. Abraham's nephew had grown distant from the Lord. Out of all the land that God offered to Abraham and Lot, Lot chose Sodom, the most wicked city known throughout all the land as the most morally wicked city in all the surrounding region. That's where Lot settled. He saw the beauty of the land, fruitful, full of opportunity, well-populated, well-watered. He saw the beauty of the land, but he ignored the ugliness. And he was taken captive when four kings came and plundered the city of God of Sodom. In a valiant rescue mission, Abraham set out with his servant, with his many servants. He approached their camp by night, and he overthrew them by surprise to rescue his nephew Lot. It was on his way home then that he was greeted with bread and wine and a blessing. Melchizedek had come to meet him, the priest of God Most High. Before there was ever a priesthood according to Levi or Aaron, Melchizedek was a priest of God Most High. And he came from a village called Peace to mediate this blessing. Blessed be Abraham of God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hands. Melchizedek stood between God and Abraham to mediate peace. But it never was really about Aaron or Melchizedek. It was always about something bigger. All the scriptures are about something bigger. The goal of every word of God that we read is to lead us to Christ, to lead us to the goal of our salvation. Aaron, Melchizedek, were just pictures. Pictures of something greater, a fulfillment we find in Jesus, the high priest who mediates an eternal relationship between us and God. Jesus mediates an eternal relationship between God and all who submit to God through his name. But who will submit? It's a question I think we really need to ask ourselves. Who is ready to back down? You know, in any conflicted relationship, any time it's really strained and you can't see eye to eye, in order to make some kind of peace or negotiate some kind of settlement, somebody needs to back down, needs to give something up. And the question is, who is going to back down in this conflict between us and God? The temptation is to think it's up to us to figure this out, to negotiate with God, to bring our case before him and try to offer some kind of a settlement. And we make the mistake of going directly to God without Jesus, to think we can go right to him and offer some kind of a deal, a peaceful resolution. We debate about rights, debates about what belongs to God and what belongs to us. We try to settle our conflicts with our enemies on our own. We dig our heels in. We devise plans of revenge or bitter negotiations, ugliness, as we try to deal with our enemies. We live in strained marriages or strained relationships, somehow thinking we can fix these things on our own without God. And more we grow distant. Perhaps we grow distant from our church, trying to imagine how this happened or whose fault it is. We bring our case before God, trying to show why we deserve something better than what we're getting. We say how our sins could be excused, but theirs can't. Unfair circumstances, unfair treatment, unfair expectations. They said this, she said that, they did this. And you never do that. Things are said. Things that God hears. And we're not ready to back down for a moment. Someone needs to back down. Who will it be? For this reason, God instituted the office of the priesthood. Because we don't back down. And because we can't offer a peaceful resolution on our own, we just can't do it. And so God backs down. God backs down and he backs up and he comes down to us to offer a resolution, to make right what's been wronged against himself. So Christ did not come to glorify himself to become high priest, but it was said to him, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you." Like Aaron, Jesus was called from among men to offer a sacrifice on behalf of the people. Jesus stood between God and the people, between God and you, to offer a ransom. He became the son that we've failed to be, the people that we've failed to be. For the Son of Man has been called by God to serve, to give his life as a ransom for you. In tears and cries and vehement prayers, Jesus was surrounded by weakness, surrounded by his flesh, surrounded by the devil. And so he says, whoever desires to be first shall be slave of all. I shall be your slave. I will give up all my divine rights to sonship so that I can earn them back for you. I will be surrounded by weaknesses. Some of the weaknesses you're familiar with, others you will never know. The devil will come for me, and I will let him. They will shackle me, falsely accuse me, place me among sinners, and I will let them. I will say, yes, this is God's will. This is what my Father has asked. This is my death for your death. And in one final breath, I will cry out to God in a prayer and satisfy all he has asked. And he was heard because of his godly fear. God heard his prayers, his cries, his obedience, or literally his submission and hearing. His hearing of God's voice. His obedience was about submission. And in this sacrifice, God responded, you are my son. Today I have begotten you, according to the order of Melchizedek. This mysterious priest who appears for a while is gone, but is never really gone. This one who places himself between us and God in a new relationship, a new covenant that's not according to the covenant of Aaron or his priesthood, but of a different order. One which won't be subject to death, which doesn't need sacrifices year after year, but which offers an eternal sacrifice, a mediation that never ends. So the psalmist writes in Psalm 110, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, till I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord has sworn and will not go back. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Jesus comes according to the order of Melchizedek. He is the priest who comes from a city called Peace. And here he finds us, lost, led astray by the beauties of this world, ignoring the ugliness. Wandering into the hands of our enemies, he finds us and he rescues us and he greets us with bread and wine and a blessing. It is a new covenant. Not according to the first, which we broke, which our fathers broke, which was according to the law, but according to a new covenant, a new relationship, the order of Melchizedek, where he forgives our iniquities and our lawless deeds, he remembers no more. A new order. From a city called Peace, Jesus comes and greets us in body, blood, and blessing. And he says, blessed are you who submit to God through me. And having become perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who submit to God through him. As you leave today, you'll likely be running into difficult relationships. Maybe years upon years of differing interests, conflicted arguments, relationships that are strained to the point of breaking, a relationship with God or your church that's grown distant. But as you return to these relationships, have this on your mind. Jesus stands between you and God and between you and the people you talk to. Think of what it means to have a high priest mediating your conversations. To have a conversation under the cross. In fact, I found myself having a conversation under the cross several days ago. I was sitting at my desk having a phone conversation with someone, a difficult conversation. Where I was finding I didn't have the answers. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know how to fix the problem. I couldn't fix the problem. And there I saw the answer. As I was looking down at my desk in my phone was the reflection of a cross. And I looked up on my wall and saw that cross that's been sitting there day after day, and I hardly even noticed it, but there it was, reflected in my phone, a cross standing between me and the people I minister to. Under the cross, we have a mediator. See it in your relationships. A conversation under the cross, where Jesus stands between you and God, and between you and the people you love, and between you and the people you have trouble loving. For Jesus said, "Those who have authority over Gentiles lord their authority over them, but it shall not be so among you. Whoever desires to be great shall be slave of all." There, in your reflection on the cross, in your tears and cries and prayers, you have a mediator, a high priest who goes to God on your behalf, who sympathizes with your weaknesses, who knows you will go astray, but who brings you a new covenant, peace with God, salvation, forgiveness. He is the author of eternal salvation to all who submit to God through him. Amen.